KM4 VWA, W4 DJW.
W4 DJW, KM4 VWA. How you doing, David?
Hey, Steve. You're back from down there. Did you try any more when you were down there, down around Columbia?
Yes, I did, and I think I know why I couldn't really hit either repeater on my way back up, is because I'm in a little Saturn Aura, 2008, and I've got the short antenna mounted on my trunk deck. So that means that it was down below the roof line, all the way back up, headed back up from Columbia. So that cut my ability to hit the repeater most all the way back up. But as I was on 20, I was perpendicular. The antenna was perpendicular to the repeaters, and I hit them both all the way across there. It was great.
Okay. Well, you realize we're back on the old repeater, right?
Oh, yeah. But what really impressed me was that I picked up white oak down there. Man, that's just crazy.
I never have looked up where white oak is on the map. I'll have to look that up. I did look up where you were in Lexington, and it that's like close to 100 miles.
Well, now, that was on the White Oak repeater. Now, I did manage to hit the 6-1 repeater at Edgefield.
Okay. I don't recall where that is either. I recall seeing the signs on the way down there, but I don't know how far, whether you're halfway or a third of the way or two-thirds of the way. Well, did you come to a conclusion on your winch on your tower? Are you still sticking with your original design?
On that secondary VFO kicked in and dropped out, and I didn't quite hear you say again, please.
Yeah, it could have been on my end, too. Did you come to a conclusion on the design for raising your tower?
I've got my winch at about 7 feet off the ground, and, it's not crossing a pulley. See, anytime that you put a 90-degree angle, you're increasing your force vector, and I'm at the top of the post or top of the I-beam at 7 feet, and the tower is actually another probably foot and a half below that. So I'm gonna give it a shot probably Sunday afternoon and just see where I am on that, and I'm very confident that this is going to raise that tower up without much of a problem at all. 3,500-pound pull is a lot.
Yeah, I understand that, and I agree. One of the things Landon makes us do, right, and I'm saying makes us do, is because he's looking out for us. One of the things he makes us do when we pull 450 feet of LMR 600 up the tower, which is very heavy, right, one of the things he makes us do is we put a brake on it. Let's say we all stumbled and we all fell down at the same time and we let go of the rope. Let's say in your situation, the winch is winching it up, 3,500 pounds, and all of a sudden the set key shears and the spindle spins and then the tower falls. One of the things he makes us do is as we're pulling it up, we've got this brake that we have to carry with us. And if we were to slip and fall and let go of the rope, the brake would engage before the LMR 600 fell 450 feet. Do you have anything like that? Like, for example, the shear pin shears and the spindle spins?
No, I do not, but it is a... you know what? Had not thought of that one. Now, can you make a suggestion as far as a rope safety brake to stop the antenna from falling down if shear pin shears?
You can always stand under it, KB4 CBA.
Well, hello, David. We'll let you stand under it and catch it when it falls. I'm just Look, I know he's not going to have anybody standing under it, but I'm just thinking equipment damage, and that's one of the considerations that Landon has, but he also has personal safety involved. So the way he does it is he's got these things like Chinese handcuffs, right, is the best way I know how to describe it, that as you're pulling, you're pushing that thing ahead of you, right, and you're keeping it ahead of you. And there's another rope that should that thing spin, those Chinese handcuffs will clamp down on that rope and it will not let it go, right? So, but you have to make an effort as you're doing the pulling to keep that thing where it's supposed to be on the rope. I'm not sure about how you would do that in your case. Something like a centrifugal clutch that engages if that thing starts to spin, you know, like a flywheel that slings a clutch out, but not a clutch, but something that has a hard stop. I'm just, when I heard you guys discussing it, I couldn't get engaged in the conversation yesterday, so I'm just giving you information that came to my head afterthought, W4DJW.
And I am in total agreement. You guys absolutely, positively must have something like that. The only way that I can think that I could accomplish that would be to establish a safety line pulley to the side of my I-beam and then just have a secondary rope attached as a, you know, kind of like a retainer guy. But that would have to be manned and, you know, something that I could throw a lock over the top and stop the tower on a freewheel. Now I'm thinking right off the top of my head, and I don't know how well that would work. Hey, you know, food for thought. You really made me think on that one.
Well, you don't have to solve it that now, right? It's just something to put on your list of things you might want to solve before you actually do the hoisting. Just, or, you know, or be prepared for, you know, the worst. Anyway, go ahead, David, W4DJW.
I don't really have anything of any consequence to add. I was just want to get that smart aleck remark in there. Hope you all are having a good day. KB4CBA. Go ahead, Steve.
Having an economically good day, but traveling a lot. I think I've covered about 280 miles today. So, anyhow, now this run that I'm going to make on Sunday, David, is a dry run, no equipment on top.
Well, that's always good. Always good to do a dry run, even if you didn't. Well, I think you already have the full tower assembled. Even if you didn't have it assembled, right, only lift it from the lifting points and nothing else above that just to make sure there's no catches anywhere, no binding or anything. Because like Bob was telling you yesterday, sometimes what looks, I mean, unless you do the math, sometimes what looks like it should be a piece of cake turns out not to be. And I think he was describing where he ran into one of those use cases. They're rare, but they happen.
Be his call sign.
ND7J, November Delta 7 Japan.
No, I guess that was him. All right, I was thinking it was another Bob.
No, I heard the conversation, but that was like right before I had to join a bridge, so I couldn't jump on the radio and get engaged in anything. But yeah, that was Bob, and he hasn't been a hand that long. I think 8 years, but he has probably 20 years of experience or more.
Well, and see, I went up to his place up at Edneyville, and I've seen his antenna setups, and man, let me tell you something. If he didn't have that block and tackle setup that he's talking about, there is no way that he could ever get off the ground. He's up, I think it's 60 feet with a 10-foot mast above that, and man, let me tell you what, he's probably got close to 200 pounds of antennas on the top of all that.
Well, it's all about the numbers, the mechanical engineering. That's when I started when I went to Clemson, was mechanical engineering. And I was They gave us pictures of like a dump truck lifting up a dump load of dirt, and you had a hydraulic hoist that was pushing it, and it was in the middle of the bed, and where it was attached, and how much weight, and the distribution of the weight of the dirt, and you had to calculate every force vector on, and it'll really shock you. It's really surprising when you do that. And that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed all that until they forced me to take a computer class, which changed my direction altogether. I didn't think at all I would ever need computers, but after I took that class, it was like the virtual world, just somebody flipped on the light. But you run into situations like that. He's got some really good suggestions he was giving you there.
Yeah, his suggestions are real good. And like I said, I've been up to his place. But like I said, man, he's got tonnage up there on the top of that tower. Let's see, what else was I going to ask you? What happens when you run a winch cable up about 8 feet, cross a pulley, and go 90 degrees that way? The force, how much does that force increase? It's not double.
I think it, well, for every time you wrap it around, I think it's double, but I don't remember the math on that. That was like 40 years ago, 30 or 40. Whenever we graduated right after that years ago, so I don't remember the numbers on it anymore. You could probably find a mechanical engineer on here that could do that, though, on a ham radio. A lot of them tend to be very technical. But we do the same thing that Bob was explaining to you when we're lifting that cable. We don't just go, we put a pulley down at the very bottom of the tower, and we come out perpendicular to the tower with the rope. But then it goes to a hitch on a vehicle, and then it comes back to another pulley, and then it goes back to another pulley, and then it comes back to us. So when we walk like 20 feet across the ground pulling on that rope, the cable only goes up the air 10 feet, right? So we've got to walk 800 or 900 feet to lift the cable 450 feet.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about with the block and tackle. But, yeah, that force, one thing that he did was he, like I said, he has a 90-degree pulley at the top of his winch pole. And I think the winch pole is up at about 12 feet, and then he's got the winch down on the side of the pole at about 4 feet off the ground. And that basically in itself is a force doubler. And that's one of the things I thought about and why I went ahead and mounted my winch at the very top of the I-beam. That way I'm not doubling the force at that one point.
Well, you raise a good point there. Another thing to think about is if your winch is 3,400 pounds of torque and your cable is good for that, and then you double the capability of your winch by going through a block and tackle, are you pinching it back down? Let's say your cable's good for 5,000 and your winch is good for 3,400. And well, now your winch is capable of 6,800. And if your cable's only capable of 5,000, that's why Landon makes us do it by hand before we put anything like a winch on it, so that we can feel the pressure that is required to get it up there, so that we can have an appreciation for what that winch is doing. But if you think about it, if you double your pulling capability, you got to keep in mind that is all going to be concentrated somewhere. And what is the weakest link? Is there like one cable that connects to two cables that connects to two positions on the tower? Is that one cable carrying all the load, and is it capable?
Exactly, exactly. I know exactly what you mean. That's why the, all right, now you know your two positions on the tower with the pulley? I've run 5,000 pound cable from the two points there. And I've got a 10,000-pound capacity pulley, and the winch is 3,500. So on a straight pull, I really should not be able to damage those portions. The winch should bog down and stop before it gets to that point. 5,000-pound capacity on the all of the cables, 3,500 on the winch, and you're exactly right. If you double with a block and tackle, you can approach the service limits of all of that real quick.
There you go. And I'm not trying to solve for that. I'm just trying to put thoughts in your head about what can go wrong, because I know you're as concerned about it, or probably more concerned about it than I am. Just things that came to my head afterwards, just thinking about it, thought I'd share them with you.
No, I appreciate it, and I appreciated Bob yesterday. It's just, you know, he went off on a different thing, and I couldn't get a word edgewise in him. He's so fast on that trigger, man. Bam, 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 bam. Like I'm trying not to be these days. You still in there, David? W4DJW and I have just dominated the conversation. Are you still there? Are you off to play some tennis?
I'm playing at 4:30 and again at 6, and I got some guys that are probably not real happy with because I missed the game last night that I was supposed to be in, but they did have somebody that could jump in and play, so I don't feel as bad, but it was just, you know, stupidity. I mean, I had it on my phone, I had a reminder on the phone, I just didn't see it. I don't know what happened, and I was in the bubble that we were playing in. At the time we were playing, and I walked right out and got my car and drove off, and wasn't even thinking about it. And the guys, I don't know, I guess they just, they got this other guy to play, and they didn't even bother to call me to see where I'd gotten off to.
Since we have two Davids on here, can I use initials to designate between the two, or should I just use the call sign?
That's up to you to solve. Solve it any way you wish.
Well, I was trying to remember a protocol for that, and I don't ever recall in my manuals a protocol for having two Davids on the line at the same time.
There used to be three of us or four of us here. There's W4KA, and then there's KJ4YQK, and KB4CBA, and me. There was four of us here at one time. Now, that would be a problem.
Call signs just in the individuals there, I think. I crowd, and I'm both of them. Well, listen, you guys, I got some concrete to put in the ground. And, David, I appreciate you jumping in there and making me think about that safety. And like I said, I'm going to make this a dry run on Sunday afternoon. And you guys are welcome to come up and watch if you want to. It's going to be a no load at the top of the tower, and see what it does. Have a little fun. Maybe get a laugh. So anyhow, I'm going to jump off here and go mix some concrete, get that I-beam in the ground. So you guys have a good afternoon. David, DJW, I appreciate you. Hey, David, I'm going to start calling you McEnroe. I'll see you guys later. 73s, K and 4, BWA, clear.
See you later. And, David, I'm parked here, so I guess I'll go on inside. I want to warm up my knees a little bit before I hit the court.
All right, Steve. Take care. Good talking to you. And David, be careful out there on the court. Don't break anything. Before you go, did you figure out what was going on with the lights on your dash on your Mustang?
It's a speed sensor code, and but that doesn't necessarily mean it's the speed sensor. It could be a host of things. The lights that are coming on are, as a technician, are totally confusing to me. If I had the computer with the Ford, you know, program and could and plug that into my data link connector, I could probably figure it out. It shouldn't be too hard to figure out. But anyway, I'm going to let Ford do that, and I've got a service contract for 5 years. I just pay $100 deductible, and they pay the company pays the rest.
Okay, well, I won't keep you any longer. I think Steve calls that point and pay. I think as we get older, we do more of that. Anyway, hope you win your match. KB4CBA, W4DJ, WClear.
Well, yeah, I don't want to throw parts at it, and I'd just rather pay the $100, and then that way, if that doesn't fix it, then it's on them, and they get to eat it, not me. I'm going to be on the other side of the desk for a change. So, anyway, I still work on it. I mean, you know, I do the easy stuff. But anyway, you have a good one. KB4CBA clear.
KN4TFW. W4FOZ. That name over here is Ken. Your picture, call sign for me. I'd love to get that down. Yeah, Kilo November 4, Tango Foxtrot Whiskey. 4TFW, this is Jeff. It's good to talk to you, Ken. And I haven't heard that call sign before, I don't believe. I'm based out of Greenville, but I'm mobile right now up in Taylor's. And now getting ready to head through Taylor's over to Greer. It's a beautiful day. We made it out of the workplace and able to see that it really did turn out to be a nice day. Too bad I missed most of it. Nice drive, though. It's about 70 degrees and feels like spring. Because they're saying next week is going to be a drastic change, though. You're a South Carolina weather. Actually heading home from work. I work remotely for the most part, and I went up to Lake Robinson and just worked out by the lake for the majority of the afternoon. So I'm heading back to my house in Greenville right now. That's Lake Robinson. I love it out there. It's very beautiful, especially on a day like today. It is without a doubt the best-kept secret in Greenville. That breeze rolling in off of the lake on a day like today. The way it was today, sun was out, but had nice breeze and no humidity or haze. It's nice and clear looking out towards the mountains. It was very nice. W4FOZ. For tonight. Some friends recently had a baby, and we're going to go take them a meal. How about yourself? Got to go home. I think I got some clothes I got to wash and make some supper. My wife's at work, and so I'll just be there by myself, maybe get on HF for a little bit. Sounds good. So do you have your general, or are you extra? General back in November, and I'm taking those classes for extra in Greer. That's me. I'm trying to think about whether or not I want to study for the general. It would be fun to be able to get on some more HF frequencies to try some longer range stuff. What's the whole class, chapter by chapter, on YouTube? It's W4EEY. That's the class I took last year. If you go there, it's all out there. Take you chapter by chapter, tell you all the secrets to remember everything, go over every single question, and that really good class. I just breezed right through the test, no problem. You said the W4EEY is the name of the YouTube channel? Yep. definitely have to check that out.
For an account at the ARL website, and then you can take the test questions by chapter, or you can just tell it to give you a practice test and just keep practicing it that way.
Yep, I did do that before I took my technician's license, in addition to the, I think it's the actual book that's put out by the ARRL as far as the exam prep book was the one I used, and it did a really good job, I thought.
I got all three books now on it, and decided to just study that last one just so I can get a little bit more bands and just say that I did it, right?
That's right. You know what the farthest contact that you've made the HF is so far? W4FOZ.
DFW. Furthest I've done is about 4,400 miles, Barcelona, Spain.
That is incredible. What kind of home setup do you have to be able to reach that kind of distance?
Right now, Yaesu FT450D, 100 watts for a radio, and I have a wire antenna. They call it a mystery antenna. I believe it's W5GI or something like that, and it's good for multiple bands, and I just have it in an inverted V in the backyard. Works really good.
That's incredible. I mean, that sounds like a pretty simple setup relative to a lot of the ones you see. I mean, 100 watts and still being able to reach over Spain, that's pretty unreal.
It's only like $120 for the wire antenna, or if you're skilled at soldering it together, you can buy it for about $60, all the pieces, and put it together. And they have it just right up there in Landrum, South Carolina, at the Wireman.
Well, is your antenna
on a cord from the top of the house to the tree, so the top of the antenna is about 35 feet.
That's pretty good height.
In the subdivision I live in, I got some of the biggest trees.
Some height and height your antenna at the same time.
The wiring's black, and that you, even when you know it's there, you can't see it. It's real stealth mode for sure.
It's really cool. I'd love to at some point set up something at home to be able to do that, but definitely need to get my general license first. Right now I've just got the mobile setup. I got the Yaesu FTM400 XD in my car, which does great, but yeah, I'd definitely love to be able to reach out and make some longer range contacts.
I'm to some HF. They have a lot of those software-defined radios. About 500 of them around the world on this one website. You can log on to it, tune it, you know, get used to it and see what's out there. It's the website's sdr.hu.
Q is in Quebec or U is in uniform?
U is in uniform.
Yeah, I'll check that out. That sounds neat.
Site and that YouTube channel and that those guys are really, really awesome. If you don't pass the test and you listen to all those videos, then you were sleeping.
Good. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out. I do think at some point, probably this year, I think I'd probably like to go for the general.
If we can help you out, just give us a shout on the radio. We're usually here about this time every day. KN4TFW.
That. Ken, do you go to the, I guess it's the Blue Ridge Radio League? Do you go to those meetings on, I think it's the first Monday of the month?
Well, I haven't joined any of the clubs yet. It just worked out that last 3 or 4 months I've been busy on those Mondays and didn't have a chance to go. And then the Greer Club meets on the second Monday every month.
I didn't know about the Greer Club. Are either of those pretty good, you feel like, as far as the meetings, kind of worth going to?
They're both kind of specialize in different stuff.
the Blue Ridge is more into like repeaters and stuff like that, and the Greer is a lot of them do the long distance DXing and contesting, and that's what they really like to do. But both groups are really nice, really friendly, and I've learned a lot from both of them. Matter of fact, I work with one of the guys from the Blue Ridge.
Good to hear. I've been meaning to get to one of the Blue Ridge meetings, and like I said, I didn't know about the Greer one, so I'll check that out as well.
My classes that I told you about there on the YouTube channel, they're supported by the Greer Club.
Sorry, I didn't get the last part of that. Can you repeat that?
YouTube channel, the guys are supported by the Greer Club. They all go to the Greer Club.
Cool. Is it the guys in the Greer Club, they're the ones who actually produce the videos, or they just help sponsor it? Neat. W4FOZ.
Ham radio operator, but just a little less than a year. I got my technician's license back in March.
Might have been in the same exam class I was. I actually think it was about March is when I got mine as well. Did you take yours up at USC Upstate?
White Cross there in Greenville.
Never mind. But yeah, I think I got mine in March. It was definitely sometime towards the beginning of this year. But yeah, I did mine at USC Upstate.
Test every third Saturday there at the Red Cross there in Greenville.
That's good to know. That would have been a lot closer for me.
You're up in Spartanburg, take the test, but you said you lived in Greenville.
I'm not sure how I found the one in Spartanburg. I don't know if maybe it was just a scheduling thing and I couldn't do the one in Greenville at the time, but yeah, I don't think I remember seeing one available in Greenville when I was looking for a testing location.
Really good there to do the testing. They're good about submitting the paperwork and that. And I tested on Saturday and had a call signed by Monday afternoon.
Really quick. I want to say mine took about 2 weeks.
With my general. And I took the test on Saturday, and it was already posted by noon on Monday.
That's really incredible. And I can't remember. I don't know if it was just them taking a while to submit the paperwork or if it was just the FCC taking a while to actually issue the call sign. I can't remember what the holdup was.
I do with how they submit the paperwork, if they do it electronically, if they do it by mail, or how they send it in. But, hey, I've arrived at home. And so I'm going to say 73. I enjoy talking to you. I hope you have an awesome day. And like I said, if you need some help studying for that general or whatever, just give me a shout on the radio. KN4TFW.
Really good talking to you too, Ken. 73. For FOZ Mobile.